Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll read some incredible verses. They will be familiar because we spoke them out loud at the beginning of the service, but you can never tire of reading God's word and familiarizing yourself with these great words. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Amen. This is God's word for us this morning. Let's just pause and pray together for a moment. Father God, our prayer is simple this morning. May the words of these lips, may the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day. Come speak to your children in these moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A little girl with shining eyes and little face all aglow said, "Daddy, Daddy, it's almost time for Sunday school. Let's go. They teach us there of Jesus' love and how he died that we might all have everlasting life by trusting in him." "Oh no, my dear," said Daddy. "Not today. I've worked so hard all week. I'm going to the woods and to the river. There I can relax and rest. I must have one day to rest, and fishing is fine, they say. So run along, don't bother me. We'll go to church some other day." Months and years have passed, but Daddy hears that plea no more. "Let's go to Sunday school." Those childish years are over, and that Daddy is growing old. When life is almost through, though, he finds time to go to church. But what does daughter do? She says, "Oh, Daddy, not today. I stayed up almost all night. I've got to get some sleep." Parents, the most important thing you can do for yourself and for your family is to make hearing the word of God one of the greatest priorities of your life and the lives of your children. Our children must learn the importance of hearing and knowing the word of God formally and informally. Hearing, knowing, and obeying the word is critical to our spiritual growth and our walk with God, to our ability as parents, and indeed to the lives of our children. We are today to be thinking on what it is to be modeling godly living. Now, of course, this stretches further than simply bringing them to church. Of course it does. We are to do this in the home as well. Our love for God must be evident in our own lives in order that we can share that with our children. Today we come to learn from words that the Lord gave to Moses several thousand years ago to share with the people. And let me tell you, the truth of those words has not changed down through the years. The children of God have been reminded of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, and now in Deuteronomy 6, they're exhorted to be modeling godly living in their homes. They're encouraged to love God and to live out these commandments in their lives while also teaching them to their children. And I want to use them today to encourage the parents amongst us, but particularly to encourage Bill and Ruth today, as they've brought Matthias before God to give him thanks and to dedicate themselves to bringing him up well. Of course, these words, in a sense, are actually for every one of us. For each of us should be modeling godly living in our daily lives, whether we have children or not. our lives are a living example to all around of our love for God. We ought to be growing in our knowledge of, our love of, and our service to God. Modeling godly living is seen firstly in our affection for and allegiance to God. We see that in verses 4 to 6 before us this morning. Moses has just summoned all the people of Israel together and has begun to remind them of what the Lord had previously said to them. Moses had been up on the mountain. The Lord had come to him, surrounded the mountain in smoke and clouds so no one could see. And God gave the 10 commandments to Moses there and then. These commandments were for holy living and so that humanity might enjoy life and live life to its full. And so Moses was reminding them of these words and commands in order that, if you go back to verse 2, in order that you and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. He wanted the people of Israel to know that the Lord was their God and there was no other. He loved and cared for them. He provided for them. And he wanted, importantly, a relationship with them. As we recognize God's love for us, so our affection for him ought to grow as well. This is seen as we firstly love God, as we love God. In verse 5, Moses begins with the wonderful words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Moses loved God with every ounce of his being. He longed that his people would do the same and continue to do the same for all time. God loves his people. His desire is that we love him in return. For those of you of a certain vintage out there this morning, you might remember the shorter Westminster Catechism that reminds us that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Absolutely. We can only enjoy him forever, though, if we have a relationship with him, if we love him. And remember that our love for God is born out of his love for us. For love comes from God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, we read the words, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us first. He brought us into being. He saw that it was good. He loved us when we sinned and forgot his commands and his decrees. He loved us even when that sin threatened to separate us from him forever. He loved us so much that he was willing to send his only Son to die in our place on the cross. His death gave us forgiveness for our sins. God loves us. He loves us so much. And he wants us to love him in return. That's his desire. He will not force that on us, however, but he does long that we love him because we want to. And should we not love him? He created us. He saved us through Jesus' death. He sustains us. He blesses us day in and day out. Everything we have belongs to God and comes from God. The homes we have, the clothes we wear, the food we eat. Is that not enough to begin with for us to love our God, knowing that he provides us with everything, with life and with breath? And Moses said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We're to love him with our whole being. It's not enough to love him simply in our head. We need to show that love in action by the way we live, the way we act, the way that we speak. Jesus, when asked what the greatest commandment was, echoed these words of Moses in Matthew 22, didn't he? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus wanted the people to love God, and because they love God, to love others as well. Would you love God? That's the first cry this morning, a love for God. As Moses spoke of their affection for and allegiance to God, though, he told the people that they were to listen to God. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, Open your ears and listen, he says. This is God's word. It's for our edification. It's for our good. The only way to hear and to take on board something is to really listen. The people were encouraged to listen to God so that they might hear what he was saying and learn from it. Moses wanted them to learn, for they had been disobeying God. They had fallen away from God's teaching and had been doing their own thing. He longed that they heard from God and changed their lives. But to do that, they had to listen. And notice what it says. Notice what it was. They were to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the key thought here is that God alone deserves first place in our lives. He is the only God that we should have. We should not be loving our homes, our possessions, our jobs more than we love God. Too often children see parents putting everything in the world ahead of God. It might be a job, it might be a hobby, it might be a friend. Whatever comes ahead of God in your life is an idol. And listen, as parents, that sends a false message to our children. For the Israelites, their world was noisy. The distractions all around them were plain to see. There were temptations on every side for them. And even when some spies went into the promised land, do you remember that? And 10 of them came back saying it was too difficult, for they saw giants big and tall. They saw fearsome sights. And that stopped them from listening to God. Our world is noisy. Our world is busy. There are distractions and temptations all around us. We too need to learn to be still as the psalmist was and to know that I am God. We have to learn to listen for God and to really hear what he is saying to us. Our affection for and allegiance to God is seen when we truly love him and when we listen to him. Moses encouraged the people to learn God's word as well, to learn God's word. He wanted the people not only to hear it, but to learn it. Verse 6, these commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Moses had been given these verses, these commands in verse 1 to teach you to observe. They were, verse 3, to be careful to observe them. They were to learn God's word so they could impress it upon their children, learn it so that it would become a way of life to them, learn it so they could talk about it wherever they were. They were to learn God's word. Moses was close to God. He loved God. And so listening to God and learning his word and applying it to his life was easy, almost second nature by then. But he longed for others. He longed for the children of Israel at large to have that same relationship with God that he had. And we too need to not only listen to God, but to learn his word. I'm always stunned at how well kids remember memory verses. They soak it in. You know, we've fallen out of the habit of memorizing God's word. It's time to rekindle that old habit, friends. We go into the care home sometimes. We're there this afternoon. We chat to some of the folks with dementia who couldn't even tell you what day of the week it is. But listen, see, start singing an old hymn. See, start quoting a famous Bible verse to them. And they will come alive, and it comes right back out again. As we learn God's word, it stays with us all of our days. Why do we stop learning it? Why do we stop learning it? We need to be learning God's word so that when we're walking along, we can bring it to mind. And as we bring that word to mind, that word might encourage us as we go along. It's not just about learning it off by heart, but it's about storing it in our heads. It's about learning it so that we do not sin against the Lord and we can follow his ways. Do you remember the psalmist? And those wonderful words, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Hidden your words. Good words for us to learn from. As we love God, as we listen to his word, as we learn from his word, we then can begin to live God's way. It's all about verse 2, keeping all his decrees and commands so that you may enjoy long life, that it might go well with you. God's desire is that we live good and fulfilling lives. He wants us to enjoy life to the full. And that's why he's given us commands and guidelines for good living. Now, these aren't meant to spoil our fun. These aren't meant to make life boring. These guidelines and commands are actually to allow us to enjoy life and to live it to the full, as Jesus would speak of in John chapter 10. God wants us to live well. As we learn God's word, we then need to apply it to our lives. We need to do as God instructs, and we'll enjoy life. As Moses was encouraging the people to live, and he said in verse 6, that these commands I give you today are to be upon your heart. We are to hold them close that we might apply them, hold them close that we might live them out in our lives day by day as we go to school, as we go to university, as we go to work, as we go to the gym, as we go to the coffee shop, wherever it happens to be that you wander to on a daily basis during the week. Keep God's word close that you might apply it in all that you do. We have to learn to live God's way. And if we live God's way, then we become examples to others as we model Christ-like behavior in our lives. Listen, our affection for, our allegiance to God is seen in how we live and how we act. We are to love God with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. We are to love him with our whole being. As we love him, we listen to him, and we learn from him. And by doing this, we are then able to live God's way. And by living God's way, we can enjoy life in all its fullness and please God. But there's always more. All of this helps us to have a good relationship with our children as well and to model Christ-like attributes to them. And that's what we see Moses talking about next in verses 7 through 9. Here we see our affection for and our approach to our children. We are to be modeling godly living. We are to love them and listen to them. We are to nurture them. As they see us loving God and listening to God and learning from God and living God's ways, so they too will want to do likewise, for they will see the joy in our lives, unlike that story at the start where the child was asking the parent to go to church and he was too busy wanting to go fishing. It'll be us and it'll be our kids coming to us and saying, let's go to church, Mom, let's go to church, Dad, because we see what it means to you. We see what God's done in your life, what he's doing in your life. First thing that I believe God teaches us through Moses here is time spent with them. He speaks in verse 7 of when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. He's speaking of the very ebb and flow of life and of spending time with our children and our family all through the day and all through the week. Listen, lives are busy. Work needs to be done so we can earn the cash to look after and to provide for our families, and that's right, and that's important for us to do, but we also need to take time to be with them. You know, some of you have been here for long enough or have heard me talk about my days when I used to work in the bank and down in Edinburgh. We lived in Livingston, and I was up early every morning, and I would return early in the evening, well, maybe not quite so early. I'd have a quick bite of tea, and then we'd be out to some church activity or another. And one thing we very quickly learned was to make sure that we took Saturdays as a family day to spend together. It's so important to the kids that there are specific times set aside for them and for us together. If you can make time during the week, fantastic. Be with them at bedtime, sit with them at bedtime, chat with them over dinner. Take time out at the weekends as well. And you know, I still try to model that up till very recently when our kids started working on a Saturday or studying and it became a little bit more difficult. But listen, Saturday's still my day off as a whole. And you know why? So I can spend time with Morag when she's not working. We will often take time out on a Saturday, even last Saturday in the midst of the snow and the ice, for a lovely romantic walk along the railway line and into Bridge of Allen for coffee and cake. Spend time. Spend time as a family. It's important for us to do all of the time. Let me encourage you, if you're a parent, spend time with your children. It's important for them. By spending time with them, we show them that they're important to us and that we love them. God is always available for us. He longs that we spend time in his presence. Let's model God's way with our kids. So if you live a busy life during the week, set aside times at the weekend to be as a family. It's good to go and to do things together. It's good to stay at home playing those old board games. Listen, you might think they're boring, but actually, you bring a board game out with today's younger generation and they'll absolutely love you for it because they've never seen something like a board game before. It's all computers, isn't it? Bring back out the games and sit with your kids and spend time with them. As Moses speaks with the people, he says, as you sit as you go, as you lie, as you wake, talk to your children. Take every opportunity you can to spend time with them, to talk to them, and as they grow, to listen to them as well. Moses' encouragement is also, though, that they teach them God's word. In verse 6, he says that we have to have God's word, God's commands in our heart. They are to be what we think about before we do anything and as we're doing it. And we are, verse 7, to impress them on your children. We're to teach our kids God's word. We're to explain the stories of the Bible to them. Listen, it's not your pastor's responsibility to do that. It's not those in the creche's responsibility to do that. It's not Fiona and her team as they look after the explorers and the investigators to teach your kids God's word. But it is in part. Of course it is. But the primary responsibility for parents today is that we would teach them God's word at home, that we would live it out before them. And then what they get on a Sunday is what I would call a wee Brucey bonus there. It's an extra. It's adding to all that they get at home. How do we do that in our busy lives? Well, we can start quite simply by sitting down as they go to bed at night and reading them a little bedtime story. It's good to begin the habit while they're young. We get all kinds of lovely kids' Bibles these days which have nice pictures of the characters and the stories, and we can begin at a young age telling our children the stories of Jesus. It's good to pray with them at that point and to begin over time to encourage them to pray themselves, simple, short prayers. And of course, we can teach them as we sing songs to them at bedtimes. You know, I had the wonderful privilege before Christmas of sharing the eulogy at my grandmother's funeral. And one of my abiding memories of my grandmother is of when she would babysit us as children. And she would tuck us into our beds. And my mom and dad never did this, right? But my grandmother did. When my grandmother tucked us into bed, she would sit on the floor beside us. And having prayed with us, she would then sing children's choruses to us as we went to sleep. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus' love is very wonderful. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. Listen, those were precious, precious, precious moments and wonderful memories for me now. Sing with your kids as they go to bed. You don't need to have a wonderful voice. Listen, my voice isn't great at singing. I manage it. You can manage it. Sing songs with them. Sing, pop some decent kids' music in your car as you're driving along. Simply sing the choruses of the day with them. We've had many a journey in a car singing choruses together. And as they grow, listen, buy them daily Bible notes. Do them together before they go to bed or first thing in the morning with them. Teach your kids about Jesus and his great love for them. And then bring them to church. Bring them to creche and explorers and investigators and navigators and pioneers and youth cafe and whatever else happens to be going on in here during the week. Encourage them to learn for themselves about God. Proverbs 22 verse 6 reminds us that we should train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. We have a responsibility, and it's a great responsibility to teach our children. Let me share that with you today, Bill and Ruth in particular, all of us together. Time spent. Teach them God's word. Talk to them about God. You might think you've already covered that one, but listen, talk to them about God. Verse 7, talk about them. That is God's words and God's commands. As you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, whatever you're doing, talk about God. You know, when you love someone deeply, you want to talk about them. You want to talk about them all the time. When we got married at first, I would always talk about Morag and how great she was. I remember having coffee with young William here when he first started dating Ruth, and he would always tell me how wonderful she was. And he still does that today. Isn't that a great thing? Ruth would do the same. Talk about Bill and the characteristics that drew her to him. We talk about those that we love when it comes to our kids. Listen, when the kids were born, I spent ages talking to people about them, saying how beautiful they were, how amazing they were, how good they were. And listen, my kids are 22 and 20. Did you like that there? Did you like that there? I was waiting to say 23 and 21 because that's what they are this year on their birthdays. Quick thinking, recovery there. 22 and 20. And I still talk about them wherever I go. Do you know that? I still talk about how great they are, how they're growing in God's grace, how they've learned from some great parents. but they are. And when we love someone, that's what we do. Listen, the first bit we talked about this morning was loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And listen, if you love God, you're going to want to talk about Him. You're going to want to talk about Him to your kids as you're walking along the road, as you're waking them up in the morning, as you're playing games with them, as they're in the bath, as you're feeding them, as you're putting them to bed at night, as you're in the shops and everything else. Talk to your children about God. And it's good for our kids to hear us talking about God and His Word. It's good to hear the stories of Scripture, to see the goodness of God when we live in our world where our papers and news bulletins are so full of bad news. We can talk about the good news, that God loves us, that Jesus died to save us. Hallelujah. Isn't that an incredible thing? So talk about God. Talk about His love for us, what He's doing in our lives and with our kids. Listen, if you're reading God's Word each day and learning from it and living it out, if you're praying each day and talking to God and listening to Him, and if you're living for Him each and every day, then you're going to have loads of things to talk about. What God is teaching you, how He's blessing you, how He's helping you, what He's teaching you. Talk about the things of God with your children. And listen, importantly, just so that we're all involved in this, talk about the things of God together. When you've got a cup of tea in your hand next door, don't just talk about the football. It's good to talk about if Hibs have won, but they've not, so don't. Talk about the things of God. Talk about what God's doing in your life, what He's taught you this week, how He's answered a prayer in an amazing way this week. And listen, if God's not spoken to you this week, then I want to ask you, have you picked this up and read it? Because if you've not picked this up and read it, He's not going to talk to you. But if you've picked this up and read it, then be assured God is talking to you each and every single moment. Your head is in here. Your eyes are in here. Your mind is in here. Talk about the things of God. Lastly, very quickly, we're to tie God's Word to our and our kids' lives. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, tie them as symbols in your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. He's talking symbolically here, of course, but he means that we need to learn and live by God's Word and ways. We're to bind them to us so that everything we do is influenced by them and by God. And that's hard for us sometimes in this busy world, but oh, how important it is. Tie God's Word to you, bind it around your neck, live by it. Listen, quite simply, stick a wee Bible verse as the background on your phone. Stop putting other silly things on there. Stick a Bible verse on there. Get some post-it notes and scribble down some of the great promises of God and stick them on your mirror so that when you look in to do your hair in the morning, it takes a fair bit of time, by the way, you'll see those verses and you'll be reminded of God's Word. Do some coloring in and fancy things and pin them about the place. Tie God's Word to you. Carry it with you. And the best way to do that is to memorize it, but not all of us are great at memorizing. So write it out. Write it in bits of paper. Stick it in your purse. Stick it in your wallet. Stick it in your car. Stick it in your bag for work. Stick it in your lunchbox. Stick it wherever. Tie God's Word to your life and tie it to your kids' lives. Friends, we're called to be modeling godly living. It's important for us as individuals. It's important for us as parents. Moses encourages us today about our affection for and our allegiance to God, and how that leads on to our affection for and our approach to our children. We're called to love God, to listen to God, to learn God's Word, to live God's way. That's crucial for each one of us individually today here in this place. We're then to model that to our children. Indeed, model it to each and every person who's around you today. In regards to parenting, we're instructed about time spent with our children. We're to teach them God's Word. We're to talk to them about God. We're to tie God's Word to our and their lives. Ruth and Bill, you have been given an incredible gift from God. The gift of knowing God, of being saved by Him, being able to be in relationship with Him. Don't take that for granted ever. Continue to grow in your knowledge of, your love for, and your service to God. You also have been given another incredible gift, the gift of a child, a son. And what a boy Matthias is. Parenting is a great responsibility, particularly in the day in which we live. We pray today that you may model godly living to Matthias as he grows. Spend time with him. Teach him God's Word. Talk to him about your gracious and your good God. Tie God's Word to his life as well as to your own. Friends, this is time for all of us. This is true for all of us. May we learn from God's word today. May we all grow to know God more, love God more, and serve God more. May our lives daily be modeling godly living. Let's pray together.